We begin with more bad trends when it comes to COVID-19. State health officials today reporting 1,424 North Carolinians are now in the hospital with the virus. That's up only slightly over the weekend, but still another record high for Monday. Some things are getting back open, though. The Chapel Hill Orange County Visitors Center is back open to the public on West Franklin Street effective this week. On campus, UNC officials have released new data about how they enforced COVID-related rules over the last 3 months. Between August 1st and October 31st, UNC got 456 referrals for students violating community standards. Most of those resulted in minor penalties, but 56 cases ended with the student being removed from Carolina housing. Tomorrow is the last day of classes at UNC this semester. Final exams begin on Wednesday. In other news, deer hunting season began on Saturday. Orange County officials now getting the word out about the rules regarding deer hunting with dogs. Deer hunting with dogs is illegal in Orange County, but only north of I-85, and you do need a written permission to hunt on private property. Deer season runs through New Year's Day. You can get more info via a link on our website, chapelboro.com. Turning to election news, a handful of counties were meeting today to certify their final results. Only one state-level race that's still outstanding. That's the race for state Supreme Court Chief Justice, almost certainly headed for a recount, with Democratic incumbent Sherry Beasley and Republican challenger Paul Newby separated by just a handful of votes out of more than 5 million cast. It was very much a 50-50 race between the two of them. On the national level, Joe Biden has won the presidential election, but President Trump still refuses to concede. As you heard from CBS News a couple of minutes ago, the latest on that. What does that mean for the transition of power? And what impact might that have on America in general? 97.9 The Hill's Al Karras takes a closer look.
While the legality of the 2020 election remains tied up in courts, the General Services Administration has not officially declared Biden the victor of the presidential race, a process known as ascertainment. Ascertainment allows for many basic services in the presidency, such as providing office space and translation services, to granting security clearance and briefing the upcoming administration on negotiations and commitments that need to be assessed in the coming term. Peter Fever is a professor of political science and public policy at Duke. He was also a special advisor on the National Security Council in the George W. Bush administration, as well as the director for defense policy and arms control in the Clinton administration. Fever said this delay in ascertainment is harmful to the country.
Because they're not focusing on governing in the next 2 months, working with Congress to try to get a stimulus package of some sort passed, because they're not taking the COVID spike seriously, because they're not doing all those things, and instead they're distracting the president's attention and the energy, the remaining energy of the administration in another direction, that's the things that are hurting the average American family, I would say.
Bruce Gentleson is another professor of public policy and political science at Duke. He was also a senior advisor at the State Department and served on both the Barack Obama and Al Gore campaigns. Gentleson said, proper and peaceful transitions of power have two main purposes, affirmation and preparation.
Affirmation is that handshake that in every other instance has occurred right after the election between the outgoing president and the president-elect, and the notion that the constitutional system is working, that we fight hard and we play by the rules. You know, a very high-level version of why Duke and UNC basketball players shake hands at the end of the game. We're not seeing any of that.
While at the end of the day, there's only one president at a time, Gentleson said waiting until January to allow the next administration to be briefed and engaged is detrimental to the health of the country, especially in the middle of a global pandemic.
You know, we're in the middle of a surge. So by the time a President Biden were to be able to deal with this January 20th, it could be that much more severe to try to get a handle on.
If Trump continues to refuse a public concession speech or make a congratulatory call to Biden, it would break 124 years of American tradition. However, despite the current lack of concession, Biden has insisted that nothing will stop the transfer of power, especially with the Constitution on his side. According to the 20th Amendment, the candidate with the most electoral votes becomes president at noon on January 20th. The current president's term is therefore over on that day. Fever said nothing will stop that transfer of power, not even the military. The military pledged their loyalty to the Constitution and the nation's laws, not to a political party or president.
the military does not have a role, a constitutional role, in the selection of the commander in chief. The Constitution lays out a process for that, and there's no role for the military in that process. And I don't foresee it coming to that.
Fever said while there's a role for courts and there's a role for legislatures, there's not a role for U.S. military in this election.
Up until 11:59, they will take the order from President Trump and implement it. And at 12 o'clock, they will take the order from then President Biden and implement that.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
When Biden takes office, observers expect him to reverse many of the Trump administration's environmental rollbacks over the last 4 years. What are environmental groups urging Biden to do? Nadia Ramlagan has more on that from the Public News Service.
Recovery from the pandemic will likely be the focus of the incoming administration. But environmental experts say actions to address climate change should be included in economic stimulus plans. Joel Porter with Clean Air Carolina says President-elect Joe Biden could boost clean energy growth and infrastructure development, as well as declare climate change a national emergency. Porter says North Carolina already is leading the way.
We've got a very strong clean energy economy that's been growing over the course of the last 10 years, and that's poised to only continue to grow if the right policies are in place.
He says environmental groups across the state also are encouraging Governor Roy Cooper to move his commitment to address climate change under Executive Order 80 further into effect. A 2019 Pew poll found across political party lines, 77% of Americans agree the nation should be developing alternative energy sources, such as wind and solar power, and decrease production of fossil fuels. Associate Professor of Atmospheric Sciences at UNC Charlotte, Brian Maggie, says policies at the state level will continue to protect air quality for North Carolina residents.
I think we were excited even before the election began about a lot of the prospects that North Carolina has going forward into the future. Part of that is leadership at the top levels of the state, providing a pathway for a clean energy future.
Maggie will moderate a virtual panel Thursday looking at how climate change is impacting residents as part of State of the Climate 2020, a special 12-hour online giving day in support of clean air and climate solutions in North Carolina. More information is available at cleanaircarolina.org. Porter says he expects Biden to reverse numerous environmental rollbacks made under the Trump administration. He points out many industries support long-term solutions when it comes to environmental policy.
And we're talking about really big companies that do a lot for the economy. And at a certain point, companies will want regulatory certainty, regardless of who's in power. They just want to know that they're playing by a fixed set of rules so that they don't have to keep changing the way that they operate every 4 years.
He says the Biden administration could further develop the Obama-era Clean Power Plan to regulate greenhouse gas emissions from power plants, as well as implement stricter mileage standards and caps on auto emissions for vehicle manufacturers. For Public News Service, I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
Speaking of elections and the environment, you can head to our website, chapelboro.com, for advice from Orange County Solid Waste on whether and how you can recycle those campaign yard signs when you take them down. Back locally, Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger last week joined the mayors of Durham and Raleigh in a special AARP program on how to welcome and accommodate aging residents in our community. I spoke with Mayor Heminger about it last week, and here's part of what she had to say.
We ranged the gamut from transportation to healthcare services to affordable housing to age-friendly environments, and we have different things going on. Orange County worked in partnership. We worked with them on a master aging plan, and we've been implementing a lot of those procedures, and our staff gets trained on how to work with seniors more effectively. And so there's a lot of good things going on. Seniors are going to become one of the largest portions of our population going forward. As that baby boomer group, I'm one of those, move into the senior years, and people move here. It's fascinating how it's really a growing population of the entire region.
Was that conversation different today than it would have been a year ago between 2020 and the election? And obviously we've got concerns about racial equity that are front and center now in a way that unfortunately they weren't a year ago. What did those three things do to this conversation?
So it made it a little different. We actually mostly talked about isolation and lack of interactions that are going on with our senior community. There's even Meals on Wheels only going by once a week right now. Checking on folks, trying to encourage neighbors to check in on seniors, talking about seniors who can't see their families right now because of COVID and how stressful that is for them. Talking about how scary it is for seniors to go to medical facilities or in the grocery store and all that goes with our COVID times right now, but that we're going to get through it. It was mostly centered, though, around housing, affordable housing, and senior ability to, we have a great transit, fare free transit system here. We have Easy Rider, and we're doing a better job with upgrading our bus stops and things to help everyone, not just, we did talk about that too, that anything that helps an 80-year-old also benefits an 8-year-old. So, you know, a complete livable community, and how might our greenways and public places and green spaces that people are taking advantage of in our communities because of COVID. So that was more of the tone of the conversation.
That's Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger speaking there. You can get our full discussion in the Conversations with the Mayor section at theaaronkeckshow.com. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Franklin Street Realty. Dramatic win for Carolina football on Saturday as quarterback Sam Howell led the Tar Heels back from 21 points down in the third quarter to beat Wake Forest 59-53. Biggest home comeback ever in school history. 97.9 The Hill's Avery Trindle with your recap.
Howell tied the ACC record with 6 touchdown passes in the game, while also setting a new UNC program record with 550 yards through the air. He also ran for a critical first down late in the fourth quarter, then carried the ball again 4 plays later for a 20-yard touchdown that gave the Tar Heels the lead for good. That run represented Howell's 7th touchdown of the game, the most any player has ever accounted for at Keenan Stadium. On a day where defense seemed optional for much of the first 3 quarters, Howell's heroics allowed head coach Mac Brown's team to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat.
Sam and I have talked a lot about a legacy for a guy like him, and his legacy will be how many games he wins. And that's what quarterbacks are remembered for. How many games did you win? And especially how many quarterbacks can be down 21 and lead their team back to win and keep their confidence?
The teams traded big plays throughout much of the first half until Wake Forest finally strung together a few stops on defense. UNC, on the other hand, struggled to find answers for the Demon Deacons offense, which allowed Wake Forest to build the 3-touchdown lead. The Tar Heels made adjustments in the secondary down the stretch, with true freshman Tony Grimes and Jaquarius Conley filling in nicely in the most crucial portion of the game. Senior linebacker Chaz Surratt also sacked Wake Forest quarterback Sam Hartman on 4th down near the Tar Heel end zone in the final minutes, which led to Javonte Williams adding an insurance touchdown on the ground. Although there weren't too many positives for UNC on defense early on, Howell would never have had a chance to bring the team back without the young Tar Heels grinding out a handful of critical stops in crunch time.
I caught myself. I looked out there some when the game's on the line, and I see 5-6 freshmen out there, and I'm about to get on the phone and say, take them out, man. This is a critical time in the game. Get those young ones off the field, and I didn't.
The win snaps Wake Forest's 4-game winning streak and moves the Tar Heels to 3-0 this season against the other 3 ACC teams from North Carolina, clinching the mythical state championship that Brown feels is so important to building the program. It also marks the first time UNC has gotten over the hump this season in 3 games that has trailed by at least 21 points, having come close in each of the team's 2 losses before ultimately coming up just short. Record-breaking performances won't always be necessary every week, but the end result is all that matters.
This is a huge step forward for us that we can play a game where we didn't play well on defense in the first half, made some adjustments, came back out and played much better on the second half, and had one of the best offensive performances that I've ever been around. We get mad at them now when there is a stop. That's how good they've been.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Avery Trindle.
Sam Howell has been named National Offensive Player of the Week by both Athlon Sports and Walter Camp. Howell was also named ACC Quarterback of the Week, and he was not the only Tar Heel to earn conference honors. Michael Carter was named ACC Co-Running Back of the Week, and Daz Newsom was named ACC Receiver of the Week. Carolina's back in the top 25 of the National Coaches Poll, coming in at number 24, still just outside the top top 25 in the AP. It was not as good a weekend for Tar Heel soccer, though, as both the men and women lost on Sunday. UNC men's soccer lost to Notre Dame 1-0 in the ACC quarterfinal, and the women lost to Florida State in the ACC final 3-2. Prior to that game, by the way, the Tar Heel women had only given up 3 total goals the entire season. Still a great year for Carolina women's soccer, though. They shared the ACC regular season championship. In college basketball news, the NCAA today announced that the entire 2021 men's tournament is going to be held in one single location, a bubble format. That location has not yet been finalized, but it's likely to be Indianapolis. Indianapolis was going to be the host of the Final Four anyway. And finally, up to the pros, the Carolina Panthers suffered their 5th straight loss on Sunday, 46-23 at the hands of Tampa Bay.